Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Happy Sunday. Welcome to the Sunday Brunch Edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. I always love the Sunday Brunch Edition. We go 5 interviews deep. It's our longest show of the week. People are out doing gardening or walking on a beautiful Sunday, maybe taking a stroll through the park or through the forest. We always love a very important and good conversation with people who are on the front lines of where our Congress, where our investigations, where our economy, where our politics are going. And today is a good one. We've got some good one. We're going to start off with somebody we haven't heard from in a couple of weeks, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, the chairman of the House Administration Oversight Subcommittee. He is running the January 6th investigation. He just put up 20,000 hours of Capitol January 6th video surveillance. He recently had several whistleblowers from the National Guard come out to say that there was a delay in deploying National Guard because of optics. Well, Congressman Barry Loudermilk is going to give us some big news on this show. He's expanding his investigation. He's going to get new money and new resources. It's a big one. And we're going to kick our show off with him today. Then Claudia Tenney, Congresswoman from New York. She has been on the front lines of fighting woke colleges and all of this anti-Semitic, hateful behavior and protests and criminal behavior going on college campuses. She's got an easy 3-point plan that she's pushing to fix the problem, as in take away the money from colleges, take away their tax exempts if they're not doing their tax exemptions, take away their federal funding, pull the tax exempt status of nonprofits that are funding this. There's some pretty easy ideas. And I think Claudia Tenney has some of the most common sense ideas in Congress. She's going to join us in the second block of today's show. That's going to be a good conversation. In the third block, a guy who's creating a lot of excitement in Arizona, Abe Hamadeh, nearly won the attorney general's race in 2022. Now he's running for House District Seat 08. Very competitive race here, likely to be a red district. Abe Hamadeh is going to join us to talk about what's going on, why there's so much nastiness in the race right now, why so many people are frustrated with the Democratic leadership of Arizona right now. A really fun one. In the fourth block, Michael Seifert, the founder and head of one of America's brand new freedom economy companies, Public Square. It is the Amazon for non-woke, everyday Americans. Michael Seifert's going to join us, talk about that. He wrote a very powerful op-ed raising some real concerns about the economy and the Biden administration's approach to it. Words of wisdom from a guy that has been growing a very successful business, even in this uneven and at times perilous feeling economy. Michael Seifert will join us in block four. And finally, we'll finish up with a guy who literally stunned people this week by saying America maybe should move to a monarchy and declare that Donald Trump is their king. Thomas Corbett Dillon, former advisor to Boris Johnson, the former prime minister of Great Britain. He's going to join us. Thomas is a colorful, fun guy, tongue-in-cheek, but also hard-hitting. First time we've had him on the show in a while. Thomas Corbett Dillon will make you laugh and smile, make you think a little bit too, which, by the way, is a good thing in this moment. A lot of big decisions ahead for the American people heading into the 2024 election. Thomas Corbett Dillon kind of has a looking glass mirror phenomenon. He's looking in from Britain. How are we looking? I think he's got some pretty interesting sentiments. We'll finish up the show with him. He'll make you laugh. He'll make you think. Maybe they'll even make you cry if you're frustrated with the state of America right now. But that'll be a good one. So Barry Loudermilk, Claudia Tenney, Abe Hamadeh, Michael Seifert, Thomas Corbett Dillon on this Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a second with Chairman Barry Loudermilk. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Let me tell you, folks, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics are pre-alcohol, prebiotic drinks that are the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after a night of drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink alcohol, it gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produce an enzyme to break the byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best in the morning. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions, you name it, we've got you covered. There's so much going on. So get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to ZBiotics.com/justnews to get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code JUSTNEWS at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/justnews and then use that promo code JUSTNEWS at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and all of our good times.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're not watching the latest work of Chairman Barry Loudermilk and his Committee on House Administration Subcommittee on Oversight, then I'm going to catch you up to speed. Before Speaker Mike Johnson was chosen in October of last year, the January 6th video footage was only available on a limited basis, and you had to go up to the Capitol in person to look at it. But just last week, the committee has released more than 20,000 hours of U.S. Capitol Police CCTV footage online. And in addition to that transparent move, just a few weeks ago, four D.C. National Guard whistleblowers testified to Chairman Loudermilk and his oversight committee on what caused the more than 3-hour delay that day on January 6, 2021. The hearing lasted about 2 hours and showed why whistleblowers in America are some of the keys in keeping our government honest and accountable. Chairman Barry Loudermilk joins us now to discuss this hearing and his committee's latest success. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sir, we are happy to have you. And, you know, whistleblowers don't come forward unless they feel that there is something that needs to be corrected about or added to the record. And considering the garbage that flowed forth from Benny Thompson's January 6th committee, I would imagine that is especially the case now. Can you walk us through what these four whistleblowers had to tell you?
Well, Amanda, you're right. And I, again, I'm glad to be on the show, but I'm very appreciative of the work that you guys are doing as well, because just as important, the whistleblowers are the investigative journalists that have been able to be really an extension of our operation here, because we have had somewhat limited resources in the past. We're doing better now. But one of the things that we've seen is when we submitted, or when we released our interim report a month or so ago, it showed that we were doing unbiased work, unlike the Select Committee, on January 6th. So that gave confidence to a lot of people who were, you know, suspicious that the truth was never going to get out and they didn't want to jeopardize their own careers. But when we came out with that report, it gave confidence to some people. And we had four senior members of the DC National Guard. These were people that were in the room during all the decision making and involved in trying to get deployed, who basically came forward to us and said, the story that was reported in the Select Committee's report and the story out of the Pentagon is absolutely false. And we had more than that was there at the hearing that actually came forward and testified to us here in the office. But these four were brave enough to come forward and they put a lot on the line to stand up and get the truth out. Now, they were all under oath, both in our closed door testimonies as well as in the public testimony in the hearing. And they gave us no doubt or any reason to doubt their testimony. And it was very interesting to hear that the delay was more or less purposefully caused within the Pentagon because they didn't like the optics of National Guardsmen being at the Capitol while violence was going on.
That word optics just keeps coming up, sir. It came up in the discussions with the Capitol Police Chief. It came up that day. There were a lot of people identified above these whistleblowers in the command structure of the National Guard and the Pentagon. What's next? Mm-hmm. Where do you go next now to follow up on what these airmen told us?
Well, there's a lot that we still need to do. We have their testimony, which is the first time this has ever been brought out. No one had ever had them testify under oath. So we have contradictory information, including from the Department of Defense Inspector General. We need information from the DOD. They have been reclusive at best at our efforts to try to get their report, to get the transcribed interviews that they did of certain people there at the Pentagon. And so we're gonna make another request, and we may have to use other means possible to require them to send us the information. We also need to talk to some of the generals there that these witnesses testified that were concerned over the optics. And, we need to know why the Secretary of the Army, after he was given the order to deploy the National Guard, instead of calling the National Guard, went over to the Metropolitan Police Department and did a press conference and then said he needed to work on an operational plan. Well, the op plan should be simple. The DC National Guard exists to protect Washington, DC. These soldiers are trained in riot control. They're there to defend the Capitol. They know what they need to do. And the op plan was get yourself over to the Capitol, get sworn in by the Capitol Police, and get to work. And if they have been deployed at the time that the order was given, now we know that Donald Trump had ordered them to be readied on January 3rd, so there wasn't any more decision that needed to be made there. The Secretary of Defense was just waiting on an official request from the Capitol. So the Secretary of Defense told the Secretary of the Army to deploy them. Had they deployed at that moment, there could have been some lives saved, especially one young lady from my district, Roseanne Boylan, which very well they could have quelled the riots and the violence, in time to save her life. Mm.
Sir, and when I think about some of these fabrications, particularly the one that you were citing from Army General or from the Army Secretary, who would be responsible in holding folks like him accountable? I know he's no longer serving in that position, but would that be Congress? Would that be the Pentagon? Because like you said, that was a pretty pivotal phone call that could have been made to William Walker that wasn't made that could have saved lives.
You're exactly right. And the accountability first should come from within the Pentagon and the Inspector General's office, which, I'm not going to pass judgment right now because we need to hear from the other side. But we do have their transcribed interviews from the Select Committee. We want to hear what they told the Pentagon as well, because if the DOD IG's report is flawed and it would have political bias, then we have an issue. But yes, it is also Congress's responsibility to give oversight to these things. Normally, that would be done out of the House Armed Services Committee. But since this specifically involved January 6th, the House Armed Services Committee said, this is yours. You have full jurisdiction on this. And so we are working with the other committees on a lot of the investigation we're doing at this point. And again, it goes back to that interim report that we that we made public a couple months ago, that has been the turning point with more people coming forward, other committees working with us, because they see the work that we're doing is without political bias. It's to get to the truth and let the American people know, because they deserve to know what really happened on January 6th, bring transparency and hold people accountable.
Yeah, that's all the American people wanted. They just wanted the facts, and they didn't get it from the first January 6th committee. Exactly. Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of open areas that you've created with your investigative work. We've learned about security failures, doors unlocking, gear left on the ground that people could grab, these whistleblowers at the Pentagon, the new video footage. There's some additions with accountability inside the police department. It seems as though your investigation is expanding. Where is Speaker Mike Johnson, and what resources are you going to need to get the job done?
Well, he has been phenomenal in the support of this investigation, both from providing us resources to, helping us get the videos out. As we started off the segment talking about, we have more than half of, or approximately half of all the surveillance videos out there. And there are other people all over the country looking at these and contacting us saying, hey, what happened here? And it may be something that we just haven't seen before. So in all of these, he has been phenomenal. He has also told us whatever you need, we'll get you. I've got a request in right now for additional personnel and some additional funding because of the number of whistleblowers that we have coming out and other issues like you just brought up, that there are so many avenues that we have to go down in this investigation. We need to wrap this up. Hopefully the bulk of our investigation, we need to wrap up sometime this summer. So, we can get a final report out and then transition to an accountability part. So we're hopefully that we'll have these resources approved here in the next few days, and we can get ready to go to the next phase of this.
Yeah.
Sir, sometime last fall, Cassidy Hutchinson submitted this quite substantial errata, correcting the record on her testimony that she gave to January 6th. Can you just give us a status update on her?
Well, that's a really good question, because, there's a lot of people interested in the Cassidy Hutchinson angle. This, as you guys know, she did three transcribed interviews under oath that told a completely different story than what her fourth and subsequent testimony said. And so especially now that we've been able to talk to her former attorney, Stefan Pasatino, where she waived attorney-client privilege, we're starting to get more information on maybe what had transpired. Ironically, we derived a lot of information between her and Liz Cheney, meetings that went on, from reading both of their books. And so we have a lot of questions regarding her testimonies. There'll be more coming. Let me say that there is a lot of questions, I think, that need to be answered from her and from other people. And as well as, I think there's questions need to be answered by the Select Committee on January 6th as to why you all of a sudden took sensational stories by one person and you went public and that became your narrative, and you didn't even bother to corroborate her story with people who had firsthand accounts of what did or did not happen.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. Sir, is it possible that members of the staff or members of Congress or staffers who served on J6 could eventually become witnesses in your investigation?
John, I believe so, and I hope so. As with other whistleblowers, some have started coming forward and giving us information. And again, it was as a result of that interim report that they have confidence that we are looking for the truth. And look, these National Guard members, they have been holding this back because they just felt that no one would ever get the truth out. And so as we are starting to get the unbiased, without political bias, without concerning ourselves with the optics of it, as we're just trying to get to the truth, people are feeling confident that we're going to get the truth out and we'll do everything we can to protect them. And so I think it's going to be imperative that we do have more information and more discussions with especially staff members.
Wow, what a great interview with Chairman Loudermilk. Don't go anywhere. In a few seconds, we'll be back with Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, who has a 3-point plan for fixing the insanity, the insecurity, the hatred on America's college campuses. You're going to love that interview. First, though, a quick shout out to my good friends and brand new partners here at Just the News, Genesis Gold Group. The markets are uneven. There's talk of bank failures. The economy is slowing down and underperforming, including job creation. Interest rates are high, inflation dangerously stubborn. It makes you want to hedge your bets, particularly when it comes to one of the most precious assets you have worked your life to protect and to build. That is your retirement. We've got a great conversation planned for next week with Jonathan Rose, the CEO of Genesis Gold Group. But in the meantime, Genesis Gold Group can help you explore and convert some of your retirement funds from an IRA or a qualified 401k into precious metals, a precious metals gold IRA. If you want to go check that out, give them a call today. You're going to get a guide on it. You're going to learn. I didn't even know you could put gold into your retirement portfolio. What a great idea in an uncomfortable economy. So go take a look today. How do you get started? Call 800-200-GOLD, gold, 800-200-GOLD. Find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. It's a great way to get started. You can also go to genesisgoldgroup.com, but I suggest you go to 800-200-4653. Make that phone call today. Don't let things get any more unstable in this economy. Hedge your bets. That's a good idea. All right, we'll take a quick commercial break. Claudia Tenney up next. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD, gold. That's 800-200-GOLD, and find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
One of the most important voices of common sense in Congress, Congresswoman Indeed. Claudia Tenney, joins us now from the great state of New York. Congresswoman, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, great to be on. Great to see you, John and Amanda. Always do a great job. You're always breaking the news first and telling it like it is and using common sense, something that's not very common, as one of our old famous people once said, Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, for sure. Yeah, I was just watching the Franklin series this weekend, in fact. That's so funny.
Good.
Yeah. So, Congresswoman, let me start off. You've got the Title IX changes that are going to put pronoun police in classrooms and force women to undress in front of biological males in their locker rooms. And then today, businesses are told, listen, you're going to be found guilty of harassment now under the Biden definition if you go ahead and don't use preferred pronouns or don't let a person use the bathroom of their choice. Are Americans ready for these sort of policies?
I don't think so. And, this is interesting what's happening, not just these changes with the Biden administration, with the protests. And we're really testing our First Amendment. And the First Amendment is an amazing document because it's able to capture so many different ideas and concepts, and it's been interpreted by so many. But forcing people to use, pronouns, in my view of the First Amendment, is what's called compelled speech. And the freedom of speech prohibits the government from telling people what say. It's like they can't tell you you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance or stand for the flag. And so forcing someone to actually use pronouns that they don't choose to use and then holding your employer liable, to me, is going to have First Amendment problems. And EEOC always goes down bad paths and also ends up being those can end up getting rolled back when it comes to litigation. So from that perspective, I think that's going to be a non-starter and it's going to really hurt our business community. Secondly, you know, obviously, I love that we have Riley Gaines out there taking a stand for women's sports. I signed on to the Women's Bill of Rights to make sure that we don't have biological males competing in women's sports. I was a woman athlete, and I know how this is just totally unfair. I played a lot of sports. I played basketball. There are a couple of sports where women that I played that probably men and women could play in, and then one of those is equestrian, and the other one is curling. So you could probably allow some type of crossover there, but not in sports where the size and the determination of strength and actually the danger to women would be a problem as well.
Yeah, great point.
Absolutely. Spot on. I wanted to, since you mentioned the protests, I wanted to start with what happened, obviously, there at Columbia, but has spread across universities across the country. And I keep thinking to myself, you know, some of these really high profile and viral squatting stories we are hearing out of New York. And it kind of seems to me like that's essentially what they're doing. They are squatting. And then I also think of some of the tactics that people use to get rid of squatters, sprinklers, Slipknot on repeat, floodlights. There have to be some creative ways to get these people off the lawn without utilizing cops and you know, these major clashes that are going to hit the news.
Well, one thing I saw on Twitter that just was really funny is some guy went over to the encampment at 4:30 in the morning and said, "Good morning, Vietnam," you know, and he played all this music. I saw some suggestions, play some Metallica, play some heavy metal, play something that'll wake them all up and get them out of there. But look, this isn't, again, here we are with free speech again. You cannot use threatening language. You can't try to incite violence. You can't call for the death of someone. Our First Amendment is somewhat limited in that way. Yes, we want free speech, but if you're going to do it in a threatening way, you know, it's the famous, you know, interpretation of you can't yell fire in a crowded movie house. You can't put people in harm's way. You have a right to stand and say terrible things. You know, remember the Westboro Baptist Church used to go to the funerals of our fallen soldiers and celebrate their death because they were against intervening in foreign wars. That you can do because you're not imposing any direct harm, although obviously emotional harm to the families who'd lost their loved one. And, you know, for me, it's particularly offensive. My son serving in the Marine Corps, but that is protected speech. Because it's not inciting violence and it's not inciting hate speech, as in telling someone that we want to have death to Jews, death to America. So there are nuances in the First Amendment while we try to balance the interests of safety and also promoting and protecting free speech.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance, no doubt. Congresswoman, there's a lot of people now beginning to look at the funding streams that have made these protests possible. Some of the money comes from student activity fees that the universities make available to groups that they sanction, like the ones that are running these protests. Others come from nonprofit organizations like Soros' foundation, others where there's a tax exemption given. Is Congress or anyone in Congress beginning to look at the funding stream and also maybe looking at maybe some potential changes to laws?
Well, absolutely. And one thing we've done, I'm a member of the Ways and Means Committee, and earlier this year, we actually looked into the funding streams for Students for Justice in Palestine and some of these other groups that are now look like they're inciting violence, bringing out anti-Semitic behavior, calling for, support of Hamas, which is, you know, a terrorist organization, designated a terrorist organization by the United States. You know, these are organizations that get dark money and they use our IRS structure, whether it's a 501c3 or four or other parts of the IRS code, to get around taxes and then use this for political purposes. And we need to crack down on that. And I'm actually working on some legislation that we can actually do something about this and start looking into these. We already did a hearing. We need to do another hearing. We need to get some experts there to show that these people should not be abusing our tax system in order to get money for political purposes into these issues, much like how NPR is. I also called for a defunding NPR. A lot of these same kind of dark money groups are actually taking corporate sponsors who are not allowed to contribute to political campaigns and not allowed to engage in political speech, using, again, functions and vehicles in the IRS code to avoid taxes and to avoid having to be held accountable for their political speech. And so we're trying to take that get to the bottom of this and end this kind of practice, whether it's defunding NPR and their corporate sponsorships and their money they're receiving, or these corporations, by the way, a couple of ways, defunding some of these groups violating the IRS, taking away their tax-exempt status if they're engaging in anti-Semitism and promotion and support of terrorist organizations and enemies of the United States. And so these are real important rules. The IRS, look, I hate to, I don't think it comes out any better than this, John, but I'll just say it like it is. Money talks and BS walks. So when you come down to money, I think you're finally going to get, you're finally going to get these schools to wake up, because look at this is fecklessness. These school presidents don't know what to do about this. They need to consult a lawyer that knows about the First Amendment, and they need to consult a tax lawyer and someone to say, you're going to lose not only your not-for-profit funding, you're going to lose your tax exemption. And those are going to be real problems for these universities. They don't stand up and end these heinous attacks on our Jewish students across the country.
Yeah, that's an important point.
Yeah. Congresswoman, I feel like I have deja vu back from the Obama days with his ISIS red line that just disintegrated. And that's kind of what we are seeing with the, in within these university atmospheres. You have to be cleared by this time. Oh, wait, we were just kidding. We'll push back the deadline. For students who are completely ignoring that and tenured teachers, quite frankly, what should be the repercussions for these students? And if the teachers, you know, if these professors, they're obviously going to be tenured in this situation, should they be given a pink slip somehow?
Absolutely. I think the students should be expelled. Anyone engaging this should be expelled. That's just the bottom line. And already you and the teachers, no doubt about it. I mean, right after October 7th, we had this famous one of the first incidents up in my region. It wasn't actually in my district, but a Cornell University professor, after the Hamas brutal, horrific attacks on children, burning children alive, raping women, killing us, murdering these people in Hamas in Gaza. We had a Cornell University professor that came out and described this as exhilarating. And I immediately wrote to the Cornell University professor or president, and I said, this guy's got to be removed soon after they put him on leave. But right now, I mean, we've got to just start taking action. This is not going to stop until we take decisive action. Expel these students, deport the students who are foreign students who are acting in this way. And get rid of the professors. And again, go back to removing the tax exemption, taking away their ability to accumulate these funds and these fees through these not-for-profit groups and student organizations like Students for Justice in Palestine and others that are hiding behind our protections for our legitimate not-for-profits that are truly out to help people in our communities. I mean, it's just an insult to anyone who's engaging in this type of not-for-profit world to have these people taking advantage of our tax laws.
Yeah. Such an opportunity that awaits us. Congressman, we got about a minute left. Real quickly, a lot of talk about, is Marjorie Taylor Greene really going to file the motion? Are they really going to go to the floor? Is there an appetite for removing Mike Johnson, or is that something that's going to get kicked after the election?
Certainly not for me. I love Mike Johnson. He's been a good friend of mine from day one. He's an excellent, first of all, really smart guy, constitutionalist, the most conservative speaker I think we've ever had and probably ever will have, a guy who understands that he has got to represent every single member in our conference, not just one or two that are demanding that he give them 100% of what they want or he faces a motion to vacate. This is not the way you govern. We are governing in a very, very difficult world. I'm conservative. Do I want 100% of everything I want? Absolutely. Do I want to get every conservative win I can? Of course. But I live in reality. We have a Senate controlled by the Democrats. We have a White House with a massive government bureaucracy controlled by the Democrats. We don't have the numbers that we need. And I think we need to start sticking together and realizing that's our only unified play. And that's our strongest play. So Mike Johnson, I am a huge fan. I know these are hard decisions. I know he's getting pilloried by everyone. He doesn't, you know, he's truly conservative. But he knows he has to govern, and he has to govern over every single member in the Republican conference. Yeah. And so I know these are hard times for all of us, but we've got to recognize that pillaring Mike Johnson is not going to solve our problems.
Folks, don't go anywhere. We got a good one up next. Abe Hamadeh from Arizona, one of the more exciting Republicans out in the southwest part of the United States, running for House District 8 seat in Arizona. He'll join us right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson produced what will definitely be one of the lasting sound bites of 2024 last month when she expressed concern that the First Amendment hamstrings the federal government. Yeah, well, while most Americans were appalled by her concerns and many rightly pilloried her comments, a new report shows that pesky First Amendment is frustrating bureaucrats on the state level as well. Public records from a nonprofit watchdog in Arizona called the Gavel Project revealed comments made back in 2021 by Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer, in which he called the Constitution a thorn in the side of my office, specifically the First Amendment. Yeah, that's Richer saying the quiet part out loud. But even worse than his rhetoric is what's been going on behind the scenes. Maricopa County and the Arizona Secretary of State have been working with nonprofits, social media platforms, and the federal government to what? Oh, yeah, here we are again, to suppress what they consider to be election disinformation. Yep, according to public records, state and county officials have used influencers to help spread their message and worked to ban social media users from the county social media account. So joining us now to talk more about this story is current Arizona congressional candidate Abe Hamadeh. Abe, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
I imagine when you read this story, considering I think the last count I heard between you and your former opponent, Chris Mays, was 280. I would imagine this rubbed a little bit of salt in your wound.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is what we expected. And we knew this was going on, too. You know, it's never been confirmed. But if you actually look at Stephen Richer, how he's abused that office, Amanda, it's not just, you know, working with nonprofits and the federal government to suppress the First Amendment rights of the citizens he's supposed to represent, but he actually created a super PAC back in 2021 to target MAGA Republicans. Now, think for that for a moment. This is a recorder who's in charge of counting the votes, and he's actually going to put his thumb on the scale. It's shocking how reckless our government officials are and his statements about how the First Amendment, it gets in his way. And if they spent as much time as they are trying to suppress the First Amendment rights of Arizonans as they did to make sure we have an honest and fair election, maybe we wouldn't have this mess here in Maricopa County. And Maricopa County has become the laughingstock across the country. So it's very disingenuous to see Stephen Richer. And you know, he always claims that he's a protector of democracy, a defender of democracy. And he thinks he's protecting us against these threats. But in fact, he's the one who's a threat to democracy. His incompetence and possible corruption, I believe, has done so much damage to Arizona's standing. And that's why, you know, he's got an election on the same day I have my election. So I think Arizonans are going to vote him out of office on July 30th.
Wow. That'll be something we'll have to watch. Abe, you have defended this country on its front lines in the military. You understand why our founding fathers gave these freedoms. It's so remarkable at this moment to see everybody from the federal level, Homeland Security, Disinformation Board, all the way down to the local level, Maricopa County, trying to infringe the First Amendment and seeing it as an inconvenience. How did those sentiments sort of creep into a generation of American political leaders, and how do we stamp them out?
Yeah, I think honestly, this is a decades long battle that we've been facing. I think this is cultural Marxism. You know, on the campaign trail, I always said it's taken us decades to get us into this mess. And why we feel ambushed all of a sudden is because they finally activated their army. You know, they're using universities as their indoctrination camps, the mainstream media as their propaganda arm, and they're using Antifa, BLM, and radical Islam as their military wing. So when you have a combination of all three of this, cultural Marxism, it's a recipe for disaster. They've taken over every single institution. They're going after the military right now. So why I always identify it for what it is, it's communism. It's no stranger to what we know and what we always have to guard against. It's what Ronald Reagan talked about in his A Time for Choosing speech back in 1964. It's exactly what's happening in our country. Unfortunately, I think Republicans just haven't been vigilant enough to guard against this. And honestly, if you look at George Soros, you know, it was really genius move by him. He understood that he could, you know, pretty much pay and buy some of these local races like county recorders, like county and district attorneys, and, you know, buy them for pretty cheap. It's the best return on investment. And what he did is basically say, if we have people who are not going to enforce the law, it can cause chaos and it could really stack the deck against Republicans. And that's what's happening. So we feel ambushed right now. But you're right, John and Amanda. I served my country. I've taken that oath of office to protect our Constitution. And I'm seeing our Constitution being shredded right before our eyes. And I'm looking around, you know, I'm a young man when I got in politics. I'm looking around, where's our leadership? Where's the leadership from the Republicans? Where's these leadership from these judges, you know, who should be independent, who shouldn't have to worry about an election? When are they going to wake up and put a stop to this madness? Because that's what it is. There's a real psychosis going on in our country. It's very apparent, and it has to be. I mean, when you start openly talking about how the First Amendment is an impediment to freedom, it's really shocking to see. I mean, all these people have to do is go pick up a history books and read the Federalist Papers. But what's scary is, you know, the gentleman we talked about before, Stephen Richer, it's not like he's a Democrat. He's a Republican. Yeah. So this mind, the psychosis that's infecting our country is really affecting a lot. So I'm worried about our college campuses because these are our future prosecutors, our future judges, our future soldiers. And what kind of education are they getting out when they openly hate the United States of America? So that is something that I look forward to when I'm in Congress. How are we going to tackle this? You know, exactly what Congresswoman Tenney just said before me. It's, you know, money talks with these people. You have to start taking away their money.
Yeah,
that's right. Abe, you are one of those folks who, after your election, you fought and you fought hard. But there are far too many Republicans out there who just kind of let things happen the way that they happen. And we would be having a very different conversation right now if that were not the case. We would be talking to the Arizona Attorney General. But you think of the legal antics of folks like Mark Elias and what Republicans have allowed to happen essentially since 2020. With new leadership at the RNC, and it seems like a new zest for a fighting mentality among Republicans, do you think things are on the up and up?
I think they're starting to go. I just think we're starting from behind is the problem. Mark Elias, you know, when they openly get away with so much illegal acts, it's scary because they're going to keep pushing the bounds. And that's what's happening with my election case. I mean, remember, John and Amanda, mine was the closest race in Arizona history, and it wasn't given a fair shake. We didn't even get a new trial. Carrie Lake, you know, she challenged her results as well. And, you know, my race was closer and she was able to get a new trial. So it almost seems the closer you are to the truth and the closer you are to actually unrooting the corruption, that's when they go after you and go much more aggressive. And, you know, I've been sanctioned over a few $100,000 by the courts here. And we actually are filing our case to the Supreme Court of Arizona, our election challenge of the November 2022 election. We're filing it this week. And I do that not because I believe we have a chance of winning. If they follow the law, we would get a new trial. However, I believe we're living in, sadly, quite lawless times. I'm doing this because I want to expose the system. And I think everything that Carrie Lake and myself have been fighting in our election battles has given us tools for the RNC, because now it's under new leadership, so that when they go into 2024, you know, I think they're at a much better understanding of what's happening. It's not just the mail-in ballots, not just the voter rolls. You know, it's really death by a thousand cuts. So we have to be vigilant and on guard about everything the Democrats are trying to do, because if you look at it, the Democrats see this as an existential election. So, you know, with that mindset, they're willing to do anything they can to prevent President Trump from coming into office. So that's why the RNC, I know they have a plan to hire, you know, hundreds of attorneys, you know, across key battleground states, which is going to be very critical. But we need strong, bold attorneys who are not going to roll over to some of these leftists.
Yeah, very important. Arizona's had early voting for a long time. Democrats have been getting better and better at it. This is the year Republicans are going to try to even the score on everything, including making sure that when someone files a ballot, that it gets you provisional status and gets counted, something I know that was very important in your race. Do you feel like the conservative movement is starting to get a handle on the opportunity that early voting could potentially be?
I believe so. And President Trump has embraced it as well.
Yes.
You know, I think we have to play by the rules that we're given before we ultimately have to change them so that they can become more fair. So, you know, early voting, and I tell people, if you don't trust mail-in ballots, that's fine. If your state allows early voting, go in person and vote early. But, you know, we can't give our playbook to the other side. And I think November 2022 in Arizona was a real indication of what happened, where so many people just waited for election day, which allowed potential tampering with what happened with those machines. So, you know, I think we have to take every opportunity to make sure we go out and vote. I don't want anybody to feel as if their vote's not going to get counted this time, so they're just going to stay home. You know, that's exactly what the left wants us to do. They want us to be basically demoralized and give up hope. And that's what now is the time that we have to stand with President Trump. He's battling everything. He's going in the court system. He has to fight the Biden administration. And you know, when he's asking us to vote and vote early and vote whatever way you want to vote, make sure you go out and vote.
Yeah. Abe, President Trump was one of your earliest endorsers. On the other hand, one of your opponents, Blake Masters, has been endorsed by the former Vice President Mike Pence and the former governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey. What do you think that says about his campaign versus President Trump's support of yours?
I think it speaks for itself. I mean, the voters here in Arizona, you know, they know who is fighting. And no amount of money is going to be able to trick, you know, a good contingent of the America First Republicans. So, you know, Blake's antics and his tricks, it's really going to just be a waste of his money. And once I defeat him at that point, you know, I would have defeated the right hand to a billionaire. And it's going to be a good message to D.C. that I'm somebody who's not going to be pushed around. I stand for truth and justice, and I'm going to do what's right for Arizona and my constituents.
Yeah, so important indeed. Right now, for anyone who wants to get involved in the race, real quickly, what's the best way to engage Abe?
They can go to abe4az.com.
All right, folks, we're taking a commercial break. When we come back, Michael Seifert, the man behind the financial juggernaut that is Public Square. Basically, I call it Amazon for conservatives and centrists and independents. Michael Seifert, one of the leaders of the freedom economy, coming up right after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. America's 40th president, Ronald Reagan, once famously said, if you want more of something, subsidize it. If you want less of something, tax it. Well, for President Biden's 2025 budget, he called for hiking the top capital gains rate from 28% to 44.6%. Remember, he did this in an election year, too, a move that left many economic experts scratching their heads. While Biden and his administration want to market the move as an effort to reduce wealth inequities, our next guest recently described the tax hikes as an act of war on our nation's great entrepreneurial spirit. Michael Seifert is the founder and CEO of one of America's hottest companies, Public Square. And he's also a co-founder of the pro-life diaper company, Every Life. A lot of parents know about that. Michael, welcome back to the show.
It's great to see you both. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. I know most of the time you stay in your corporate lane, but you got a little bit of politics and policy, a very important op-ed on Tuesday in Town Hall. Tell us a little bit what inspired you to do this and how impactful these tax hikes, if they occur, will be for entrepreneurs like you.
Well, you nailed it. That's exactly why I think it's so important to focus on this issue out of the Biden administration, because it does directly impact a business's ability to grow and sustain their operations. One of the most important elements for a startup business or a small business that's looking to grow into their next chapter is access to capital. And unfortunately, anytime, as you mentioned, you hamstring the ability for a business to get capital through the increase of taxation, you put that business at a disadvantage. The Biden administration recently called, as you mentioned, for a tax hike on the top capital gains tax rate from 28 to 44.6%, which I would remind all of the viewers is twice as high as China's capital gains tax. And as a reminder, amazing, capital gains are taxes on invested assets that you actually then sell for a profit. So you are, for all intents and purposes, disincentivizing any investors from placing capital into a business in order to help it grow, because they know that 44.6% of whatever they gain, they're going to have to give back to the government. And I actually point out in this op-ed that, you know, capital gains tax is really a third tax in the stream of taxes when you're investing in an asset, because first of all, you're investing in the asset, and that's after you've already paid income taxes. So you're investing out of leftover assets oftentimes. Many people operate within that strategy. Then you're taking those funds, investing it in the asset, business X or Public Square, let's say, or any other business trying to grow. And inflation will take its toll, as it always does, depending on the rates, of course. But inflation, especially right now, is taking a massive toll on the value of that capital as it sits in an entity that you've invested in. Then, so that's a second tax. Then once you finally sell that asset, your holdings in that asset for a profit, you're going to owe 44.6% of that asset back to the government. And one more thing, in states like California that have a very severe capital gains tax rate at the state level above what the federal government already imposes, in California, your top capital gains tax rate will be 59%, wow, which means that almost 60% of any profit you gain in the investment into an asset will be taken by the government, combined between state and federal. For a business owner like me, that makes it very hard to go pitch investors and say, hey, you should seed capital into our growing enterprise, when I know that they're going to end up having to cough up 60% of that funding back to the government in the event they get the return they're hoping for. Mm.
Michael, there is something that has confounded me since 2020. I remember back in 2020, we saw some numbers with respect to small dollar donations that went to Donald Trump and large dollar donations that went to Democrats, and particularly Joe Biden. And the situation had flipped, where Wall Street was now supporting Democrats and Main Street was now supporting Republicans. When you see numbers like this and you see these, you know, big buck people in this country, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Reid Hoffman, the wealthier people in this country who run companies and also serve as investors, why on earth are they voting for Democrats?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I have a theory, and it's that many of those folks that are in that class of wealth have become so far removed. They have offshore accounts that operate as a tax haven. They do not actually experience the negative effects of the policies that they promote. So they vote Democrat so that they can stay in the cool Democrat social clubs, and they can stay in the good graces of Washington, D.C., K Street, Wall Street. But they're so far removed from the way in which these policies actually negatively impact the folks that don't have the mega wealth to be able to hire some offshore accountant and go bank in Geneva and go offshore their business in the Cayman Islands. Biden claims that tax hikes like this will negatively impact the wealthiest of the wealthy, but it's not true. In fact, the majority of these taxes impact people like me, who are in the upper middle class. We're working our way up. We're trying to build good businesses, creating quality and value for our communities. And I am penalized on the way up. I don't have the ability to offshore my business, nor would I want to. I'm an American. I should be proud to have my business and my holdings and my income established in this great country. And I certainly should not be penalized for it. But policies like these eat the rich style, we're going to go after the 1% policies, rarely actually impact those people. Donald Trump in 2016 said that so eloquently. He said the tax structure is broken. And if you want to change it so that these ultra wealthy are actually paying their taxes, you could have the power to change it. But Hillary Clinton, you don't want to, because it's all of your donors that are getting those tax breaks once they get to that level of wealth. It's the people in that that, you know, growing business, SMB style business venture growth stage that have to deal with the weight of these. And I tell people all the time, increase of taxes will lead to less great American businesses. And the world at large right now is looking for American enterprise to flourish more than ever. Over 50% of successful billionaire startups, or unicorns as they're otherwise known, come from the United States, even though the United States only represents 4% of the world's population. So imagine what happens when that sort of economic standing is diminished through corporate and capital gains tax rates like this. It's not good for America. It's not good for entrepreneurs like us. It's not good for small and medium-sized businesses on Main Street. And it's not good for the world at large.
Michael, I want to turn to something else that you're at the center of. You're the center of this brand new parallel economy that is booming in America. Public Square, one of those iconic companies that are making a difference. But you also do something fun. The other day, the economic indicators showed that consumer confidence was going down. I already knew that was coming because I saw your Freedom Economic Index a couple of weeks before that for the last month. And small business owners were already saying that you've created a really leading edge economic indicator that gives small business a voice. Tell us a little bit about that. We got about a minute left.
Well, we felt like voice of small business has not been properly represented in society. The Chamber of Commerce has completely abdicated their duties. They no longer represent the business community of this great country. So we decided to create an economic index, a survey called the Freedom Economy Index that we would send to our business community, over 80,000 small businesses across this country. And we want to hear their thoughts on how the consumer is doing, how their business is thriving, what challenges they're having, their stance on certain economic policies. It has been incredibly eye-opening. What we have learned more than anything else is that the small business community of our country, Main Street America, is incredibly resilient, even amidst incredible adversity like they've never seen out of the Biden administration. So I've never been more honored and proud to work with the small business community of the United States. I've also never felt so urgent about fixing some of the policy problems that they are currently handicapped by. And we'll hope that ultimately November is a good turning point for our country.
All right, folks, we're going to have one fun conversation to go before we wrap up the Sunday Brunch Edition. Thomas Corbett Dillon, former advisor to British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He's a hoot. Makes you laugh. He makes you smile. He makes you think. He might even make you cry if you're worried about the state of America. We're going to have Thomas Corbett Dillon right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, America. Internal federal governments obtained by CBS News reveal that the Biden administration is discussing bringing certain Palestinian refugees to the United States. The documents show that senior officials are looking at the possibility of bringing over Palestinians from Gaza who have immediate family members that are either American citizens or permanent U.S. residents. Joining us now to talk about this is Thomas Corbett Dillon, a former advisor to U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson and current political consultant. And he joins us now. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to have you on. All right. So England has a lot of Great Britain has a lot of experience with refugees. There's a lot of concern in America about bringing Palestinians over at this particular moment, particularly with the screening process. Tell us what you think is going on here.
I mean, can you imagine that this administration look at something that's happening in Israel and Gaza and think, hey, these are guys we want to bring to this country? I mean, these people are crazy. So, you know, then, and I think the fact that this has been leaked shows you that actually what this is it's a campaign tactic. This is Biden appealing to his left wing to try and appease them and say, hey, we're on the side of Gaza. So I don't think this is ever going to come to anything serious. I think this is another tactic in the Biden campaign, desperately trying to get support from anyone he can. So I wouldn't be worrying too much about Gazans at the doorstep. I think we've got more to worry about at the southern border than them flying them in from there. But I wouldn't be surprised with this administration, you know.
Political head fake.
Indeed. I wanted to ask you, though, about how it worked out for the UK, though, because England at large, but London in particular, has had a deluge of Middle Eastern immigrants come into the city. How has that worked out?
Yeah, well, how do you think it's worked out? I mean, I don't recognize my country anymore. I go to London. It's almost an Islamic Republic. We saw the Pakistani flag being flown from Westminster Abbey, which was a real outrage. And of course, then what happens? We had St. George's Day, which, you know, the English version of St. Patrick's Day, a very important day for English people. And there was no celebrations. But for the Muslim Eid and all of these Ramadan, they lit the streets up. The mayor, of course, is a Muslim. So, you know, what happens is these people come, they take over positions of power, they vote as a bloc. And very quickly, the indigenous people, which of course the left love to talk about indigenous people, I like to remind them that we are the indigenous people of England. So maybe I should be the victim in this. I don't know. We're going to play their own game. But no, it's a real shame. It's not advisable, that's for sure.
Yeah. And there's been so many horrific security episodes in Paris and London over the last few years from some of those players. That's what makes everyone really scared. I want to turn to another subject because we are in the midst of a big transgenderism movement in America. A lot of discontent, a lot of court cases, the Title IX changes by President Biden, not very popular in many states. UK's National Health Service did something that the United States hasn't had the courage to do yet, and that is to declare that sex is a biological fact that needs to be protected, a major shift away from gender ideology. This follows after Great Britain also has moved to stop transgender surgeries on young children. Great Britain is way ahead of America when it comes to common sense on this issue. Nope.
Yeah, way ahead. And I think it comes down to a simple fact that there is no money to be made in the UK in pushing these gender reassignment and these sorts of things onto children. Where unfortunately, there is a lot of money being made in the United States by these gender clinics that, you know, they're charging the insurances and all of these things. Whereas in the UK, they're looking and saying, you know, why are we paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for these people that are, you know, most of the time mentally ill? I know I'm not allowed to say that, but of course, that is the case. So the UK, yes, they're saying there's no money to be made. We're going to push back on this. Whereas, of course, in the United States, these gender clinics around the country are encouraging. You call up one of these gender clinics, they say, oh, yeah, come on in. We can help you. You know, give us your insurance. So, you know, there's money to be made. So it's really a sad situation that's happening in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you think it's money driven here?
I think very much so. I think that, you know, a lot of people in this space are making a lot of money out of this. Whereas, you know, if you actually get to the truth of the issue, they know that this is not helping. I mean, most of the people that go through this transition experience even more mental issues afterwards. So, you know, it isn't really something that we should be encouraging, particularly children, to do, which I think is the real sad part of this.
Yeah, good point. Mm. Good point. I want to ask a little bit about the royal family. King Charles just resuming his royal duties after cancer diagnosis. Of course, Princess Kate also going through this. It's a pretty extraordinary time. How is the citizens and their royal family viewing this moment right now?
Well, it's sad. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it represents the wider state of the United Kingdom on the global stage. You know, it's never really been the same since we lost Her Majesty the Queen. No one will come close to that. But I think it's just sort of, you know, a truly collapsed empire now. And I often say to Americans is that, you know, they like to laugh and joke and say, oh, look, the UK is nothing now. And I remind them, we were once the richest and the most powerful nation in the world. So never underestimate how far an empire can fall. So, you know, if America doesn't sort itself out, you might be heading down the same path as the British Empire, which is a scary place for the world.
Words of wisdom.
I wanted to ask you, though, sentiment towards the crown in the UK, because I have noticed a demonstrable shift in the United States in support for the monarchy. And it's been really strange because it seems like it came fresh off the heels of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's criticism of the crown. And that almost had the opposite effect on Americans. Anything like that happening in the UK?
The UK is a weird one when it comes to the sentiment of the crown. You know, there's the people that are very passionate. But, you know, myself personally, I am a monarchist, and I do believe that monarchy is the best system, which is why I'm putting forward that we should have a king of America. And I think it's got to be Donald Trump. I think there's the only man that could step into the shoes, those golden shoes. So, you know, I think everyone's starting to come around and say maybe monarchy is not too bad of a system. But I do wish that King Charles would stand up for his country and maybe push back against some of these crazy policies that are being pushed by his politicians and actually say, you know, I am supposedly the God-given right to protect King of England, to, you know, be the King of England. Maybe he should push back and start, you know, being a little bit stronger, I would like to see. But yes, definitely we're voting. We're anointing President Trump is the king of America.
That's very funny.
I think he'd probably accept that.
Tom, speaking of President Trump, former President Trump, about a year ago, there was everyone in Europe was giving, he said, we don't want him. They're coming to the realization there's a good chance they may be dealing with him. And there's been a softening of some of the rhetoric and even some engagement with some Trump policies that are making sense in Europe. Are you sensing a little bit of shift in the sentiments of Europeans right now?
I love it. And I love being able to sit back and tell them, I told you so. You know, they all held back. They all, you know, especially the British government, they didn't want to engage with Trump. You know, we should have done a trade deal with the greatest tradesman that exists in the world. We needed a trade deal. But the British establishment was so worried at offending the Democrats when they got back in. They were saying, oh, you know, it doesn't want to be the Trump deal. And what, of course, happened is the Democrats came back in and the British are evil. We're colonialists. Biden won't engage with us. We've got nothing out of the Biden regime. So, of course, now they're all scrambling to go back to Trump and, you know, crawling back to him. You've got David Cameron going and visiting him at Mar-a-Lago, you know, cap in hand. So I'm enjoying it. People are finally waking up that actually Trump is the best thing for the world. So it's a good time to be on the Trump administration. I think he's getting a lot of calls from a lot of people.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. A big thank you to all of our guests, particularly Chairman Barry Loudema, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, Abe Hamadeh from Arizona, Michael Seifert from Public Square, and Thomas Corbett Dillon, a man with a British accent and a British wit that makes you think. All right, well, what a great show today. God bless you. Enjoy your Sunday. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.